I had like a big, big collection, and I was there sitting in front of my mural board, totally overwhelmed with like 7 visual layers I came up with. And then it just made sense to make a book and to find a structure and also kill some layers because it gets too much, gets too confusing.
Hi, and welcome to the podcast of Fototreff Berlin. At Fototreff number 41 on July 29, 2024, the artist duo Magdalena Wisocka and Claudio Progo from Outer Space Press talk with photographer, photo editor and photobook author Chantal Seitz about photobook strategies. Fototreff Berlin is supported by D-Light Rental Services and Hinemann Buch und Offset Druckerei.
Welcome everybody to Fototreff 41. We're really happy to have you all here to explore the world of photo books with us tonight. Maybe some people more are coming, but I think we are quite packed down here, so we will start. Actually, I will introduce you to the evening and then I will give you the word. So in the first part of the evening, we will discuss the unique perspectives and challenges of photo books. What makes them special, and what are some inspiring strategies for creating them. Therefore, we are honored to have Magdalena Wisocka and Claudio Pogo, an artist duo known for their great photo books with Outer Space Press. Their work includes monoprints, photographic readymades, and artist books showcasing the unique possibilities within this medium. We are also pleased to welcome Chantal Seitz, who studied photojournalism and photography in Hannover. Chantal published the photo book Stay Safe Out There in collaboration with Colin Davis. Their joint book project was nominated for the Dummy Award and featured in the photo special edition of Zeit Magazine. In the second part, join us for our first photo book walk. 13 authors, artists, editors, and designers will present their photo book. Come, browse, discuss, and be inspired. So last but not least, before we begin, I would like to thank Magdalena, Claudio, and Chantal for being here tonight and for showing us some insights into your work. A big thank you also goes out to all the participants of the photo book walk in the second part, and also to our sponsors, DRS and Hinemann, and of course to Attila, who's giving us this great location every time here. Have fun.
Hi. thank you so much for this introduction, and thank you everyone for coming by. And it's great to be in this beautiful space here with you tonight and talk everything about photo books and what we do. We thought to kick off the evening, we're going to start with showing 2 short videos, one from Chantal and one from us, to kind of introduce you quickly to our practices and our books. So we're going to start with a short invitation to our studio of Outer Space Press.
Should I roll it?
Yes. Yes, please.
It's, as you can see, 3 minutes long.
The link to the video by Outer Space Press and other information on Fototreff number 41 on photobook strategies can be found in the show notes.
Yeah, if you want to see the XXL version, there's a 40-minute version of this on our YouTube channel. Because we originally made this for like a competition, and we didn't read the rules. We made this 40-minute video of like how long it takes to make one actual copy of the book. And then, of course, when we wanted to send the video, we read in the rules that it needs to be a 3-minute video. So then we made this video. So if you want to see the XXL version, it's on the same YouTube channel. It's, you can find it there. Chantal, you wanted to say a few words before we roll your video.
Yeah. So, hello from me too. Hi. Nice that it's so crowded and full. I'm happy to be here. To just give a little context before we look into the photo book, Stay Safe Out There. I wanted to give you context what it is about. So I did a collaboration with Colin Davis, who's the brother of my partner Everett, and who's in prison since now 19 years in a California in a prison in California. And I thought it would be valuable to him to show him photos of the outside world and to give him the opportunity to wish for images he wants to see, like places he never visited or people he misses. And that's basically, we did that book together, and now we can have a look into it and maybe base those two videos as a start for our conversation.
Hi, Colin. How are you? I hope you're doing well. Everett and I think and talk a lot about you.
Chantal. Hi. Sorry it's taken me so long to write back. I promise I'll be on it more. I'm doing okay, though, just waiting on my appeals to go through and hoping the judge will be fair.
A few days ago, this idea came to me. I would like my thesis project to be a collaboration with you. It would entail me showing you, through photos, things, people, moments, places, which you are interested in seeing but currently aren't able to see. My idea so far is that you would give me impulses and directions, vague or detailed, of what to photograph via written letters.
So for your thesis, I will help. It sounds interesting and fun too. So as far as what you're taking pictures of, what or how exactly do you want me to describe?
Basically, and this won't really help you, it can be everything. It can be very abstract or totally concrete.
So my ideas right now is different fashions out there, like punk rocker, tattooed, gangster, high fashion, then people at the park. It's been a very long time since I've seen people at a park.
We saw a man from distance taking off his bathrobe, jumping naked in the cold lake.
With the pictures that you sent, the first thing that popped out was how many people were at the park. I don't think I've ever seen a park crowded like that. Sculptures always intrigue me because of the work that has to go into them. It's cool to see stuff like that because we don't have anything like it out here. So for the next round, take pictures of the wildlife out there. I'm interested to see the differences and similarities.
I like the wildlife assignment you gave me. I still think about your description of the wildlife you encounter, especially the two hawks living in the tree on the other side of the fence. I was wondering if I would be able to see that tree and the hawks when we come to visit you in September. I'd love to photograph it from another perspective, one that is new for you. Colin, I really wanted you to know that I'm very grateful for our conversation and getting to know you better. I can't wait to visit you and hope we get nothing but good news between now and then.
I hope all is well when this reaches you. I'll write again soon. Stay safe out there. Love, Colin.
Okay. So before we jump right into like our books and your books, maybe we should give a little bit of an insight where we come from and what we do and why we sit here, right? And you want to start, Chantal?
Sure, I can start. I like in the introduction where it was already said, I studied photojournalism in Hannover, and before that I actually did like a proper apprenticeship to be a photographer. And I studied in Hannover, and the book was actually my graduation project. Besides that, I'm working as a photo editor for a crime magazine, which is interesting coincidence. And yeah, I think I'm here to talk a little bit in detail about the collaboration and the book as an outcome.
And we're here.
Yeah, I also don't want to be the moderator here.
No, you're not. yeah, so a little bit of background of me and Claudio's practice is that we come from a little bit of two different paths that at some point connected, and since 2016 we run a book design, bindery and printing studio called Artspace Press. My background is really in printmaking. That's my education, and with photography I really didn't have that much to do through my studies. Kind of on the contrary, I was always too impatient for the gear and all the technical knowledge, so I really stayed away from it, which is kind of funny because that's the main kind of topic that I work with right now, and beside of book format, of course. But yeah, we come from two different backgrounds, and I think the studio that we created is kind of a combination of both our stories. So I kind of bring this printmaking knowledge and typography design knowledge to the table, and then Claudio comes from really a photo world and brings his technical skills to the table.
Yeah, I'm like, my background is to be, I used to be a photo lab technician, so I was into like, I was working in a photo lab for a couple of years making prints, so like when the analog world kind of transitioned in the digital world work. And after that I studied fine arts with a focus on photography, and after that I studied cinematography actually, and then I ended up making photo books. I would say like none of these studies was like any wasted time, because I'm always like looking somehow at the cinematography, like was that necessary? But I think it was, because like this thinking in sequence, this thinking in one photo after the next one and stuff, also kind of helped. And I was running an imprint called Pogo Books since 2009. I started to like publish photo zines, and then that grew also into photo books, and it's also still existing. It's becoming more like an archive now, but it's still there. And in the beginning, Outer Space Press was more like an extension of it. It was more like the production studio. We started to make our own titles, and Pogo Books came really from like a DIY background. There was really like zines in the beginning, so I had a Xerox printer and a staple machine, and I made really basic photo zines in the beginning, and then transitioned to offset printing, and then to bigger books and so on. And since 2016, we're doing Outer Space Press, which is kind of a back to the DIY thinking, or like it was, the idea was like we can go back to having a studio with equipment that we can make our own books, but a little bit more intricate than just doing a zine. So that's what we're doing.
That was
now
a natural progress for you, right? From like, I mean, it's what we do. I feel like it's still a spirit of DIY. We do everything. We bind everything by ourselves, basically. We print mostly everything at the studio. So this aspect of like really sitting down with the project from A to Z, and from being an artist that's behind it, and then comes up with a concept, and then design, editing, everything, that's all on our desks until we have the book ready in our hands.
And I would have a question there. Oh. Like, where is the content for the books coming from? Like, is that all? Like, are you the source to create all the content, or?
Yes, so we are the artists behind all these books that we publish. Also on the path there, we also had like collaborative projects, so we published other artists. Right now we're only publishing our own work, which is all photo books, but it's always a little bit difficult to find the perfect niche for us, because for the photo book people, we were always a little bit too like artist book, and for the artist book people, we were too much photo book, so we kind of in between. No, it's like, it's not the classic self-publishing, because, well, we take the publishing aspect, well, like taking it serious sounds a bit stupid, but we just kind of continued what was set up through Pogo, and we know how to do it. And so it's not like really starting as a self-publishing.
I think it's the definition of independent publishing, actually. It's like somewhere in between. We fall into these gray zones a lot, but I think also in terms of content, we work with photography, but we work with archives and we work with found photography. So we use the medium as a theme in our books and as a tool to reproduce found printed matter. So it's always photography through printing also, and photography through, like, you know, passage of time and like what happens to like a physical aspect of a print. That's very important to us. And even though we work also with digital archives, it's all kind of very connected to tactility, because I think this work with materials that we do every day, it really like switches something in your brain and you really develop this feel for, yeah, how things feel and how they look. And yeah, I think that's...
Yeah, in the beginning when the three of us met for the first time, we were like thinking, why us? And like, why are we sitting here together?
Oh,
and
yeah, I had an alternative title for this talk. Yeah, because yeah. Chantal was visiting our studio and we were like, what do we have in common that we would talk about photo books? Like, we already
because
kind
it's
of,
not
like,
patient.
Weirdos
like, I could
in the
never
photo
do
book
a book
world.
Like that.
Yeah,
like,
you're just doing your first photo, nope. First one, right?
It's the second, but like, okay. I could never do it from scratch on my own. I would throw it through the wall. Like, I could never, like that's a big difference between us. I get already nervous watching your video. Like, it's so precise and it's awesome. But yeah.
So when we had a chat, we looked at the title of this talk and we were like, huh, funny, because we don't really do zines and we also don't really do coffee table books, because like, okay, zines I did in the past, I can relate, and maybe we have a format that we can relate to zines, we can talk about that. And coffee table books is a bit complicated for me, because a coffee table book for me like actually lays on a coffee table and it's out there and it's kind of the spirit of it, it's that it's for everyone and it
fast,
is there.
Right?
It's like
it's a fast thing to
yeah, it's there to show off that you have something valuable on your actual coffee table, and but it must be for everyone, because maybe your grandma is gonna sit there or
you don't
like your work
the coffee grandma when she
exactly.
Comes over.
So for me a good book would be much rather being deeply hidden in your bookshelf and you just pull it out for a very special person, or even better, just for yourself. And so the word coffee table is like, we don't really do that, because I don't want our books to be for everyone, actually the opposite. So we were like, yeah, we don't do either, so maybe we should come up with an alternative title, and we looked into what is a common thing in our practice. And the title of this talk could be, but we can also talk about any other things, it could be Other People's Photography, which I think would be a very common thread through, like, that's what we do. We work through, like, tons of images and all types of archives and amateur photography, wherever. Like, it's an image that already existed before, but it wasn't really labeled as art. It was... had a different pre-existence, like science, education book, or just amateur, random stuff. So, and then you work as a photo editor, which you deal with other people's photography constantly, which is an interesting one to talk about, because it's like a gigantic pool of everything.
Yeah,
and
I
then
think,
one last thing, yeah. Your book is also interesting in this context, because your book is shot, first of all, or made for just one person, or like the whole project. Let's just say the project, not the book right now.
Well, I think it's an intimate project, right? Like it feels very, like you get an insight into this relationship between you two. It feels like it's a very,
yeah but like, he sees the world through other people's photography, which is yours. I mean,
it's basically his too.
Yeah, so the question about, who's the author in this? would be one.
It's an interesting one, for sure.
Yes. But also, I like the aspect that it was made for just one person on this planet. It makes it very special. I just wanted to say that's really cool. But maybe the first question would be like, who's the actual author of this? Is it Colin? Is it you? Is it both of you? Is it about Colin? Is it a book that you did with Colin?
A lot of questions.
Yeah.
But I try to, I don't know, just talk about the overall topic of authorship, I guess. So I would say the book is definitely, like, we are both authors. Like, I would never say we are equal. Like, we cannot be equal because I'm sitting here. I'm able to talk about the book. And he's still locked up and is not able to give you his side and his thoughts. He can only do that through the book by reading his letters. And but still, I would say, like, looking at the structure of the book, like, we have the equal space of talking in it. Like, there are, like, it basically contains our conversation throughout a year. So it's my letter, then there's Colin's letter, and so on and so on. So it's there we are really, like, equally present. And with the photography part, as I said before, I basically was, I tried to be his camera. So I wanted to give him the opportunity to take control for once and tell me where to focus the camera on. So when we talk about other people's photography, I would say it is kind of his, but by doing the photos, I realized how difficult it is to give him control by letting control go, which is a thing I'm not good at. And so, of course, it's my photography, and I decided the sequencing of the book. Like, we never talked about this is how the book is structured. So I would say in that part, it's totally my authorship, but it's our both names on it. Like, it's definitely our book. I would never say it's my photo book. Like that would be super wrong. So what else was there?
Yeah, no, but I would like to ask, like, did you actually start this whole thing with the idea of a book in mind? Or was it just like, let's start this thing. I'm going to make photos for you so you can see what you can't see. Like, at what time did the photo book actually came to your mind?
Yeah, so I started with not knowing where it's going, which was very difficult for me because I said I need control a lot. But so I basically threw out the idea to him and asked him if he would like to participate and join and do that project with me. And it was basically really just asking him, hey, does that sound interesting to you? Do you want to do that with me? But I had, from the beginning on, I had in mind, this will be my graduation project. I didn't know it will be a photo book. But by the end, when it's, and maybe we can talk about that next, like collecting things, which is always the start before binding and doing the actual photo book. But after that year of writing and doing photos, and I had this big collection of also found footage, documents, like Colin was only able to see the photos in black and white, which you maybe saw in the book. So I had those documents sent from him. I had like a big, big collection, and I was there sitting in front of my mirror board, totally overwhelmed with like 7 visual layers I came up with. And then it just made sense to make a book and to find a structure and also kill some layers because it gets too much, gets too confusing. But yeah, so this, it wasn't planned, but at one point it just made sense because I also felt like it's important that I challenge the viewer to sit down, to read a lot. Like, it's not a coffee table book. You can't browse through it, but you won't get anything from it in the end. So it's really like a book to sit down. So, mm-hmm. yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now you're publishing it with a big publisher, let's say. So that's another step of losing, well, not losing, but giving away part of the control, right? Like there's it's not going to be the same format like your self-published book. It's going to be a little bit different. I just wanted to ask you how the book is going to be looking like for like a, let's say, mainstream market, comparing to a, like a self-published book that you just...
So made. It comes down to money in the end, which is sad, but that's how it works, I guess. And therefore, it needs to have some changes. So it will be in the... Now it's a hardcover. It will be a softcover version, which is actually... I kind of like that idea because it means I can send it to prison. It's not allowed to send hardcovers to prison, so there is a nice aspect.
That makes so much more sense.
Totally, actually.
So it's a good decision.
Sometimes stuff happens and you're like, and then it's like, oh, actually, that's a really cool thing. But yeah, there will be some changes. Mm-hmm. And that's okay to accept because I want to spread it out there. And it's always the how much is the change and how am I comfortable with it and so it's something different, but I'm willing to give it up a little bit.
And how big was the self-published edition?
Only 80 copies, which I was able to do because I had people pre-ordering it. And
is it us?
I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm just asking because it could also be cool to just... It could have also been one book just for Colin. Mm. Then it was 80.
80,
and,
yeah.
And now it's going to be probably like 500 or 1,000 or something.
No. It's like 250 or something.
Okay, I'm aiming too high. But anyways, it's like for a wider audience. But... Did you ever consider just to make one book or to put it on a wall or like, or was the photo book always?
In the end, it was a photo book because, as I said, there were like so many layers and I had a little exhibition, but it was more or less showing the book and I had like a wall every viewer had to face and go around and So there, it is the book, and all that you can see in the book was made for Colin, and he received it. And so it's a lot of, I don't know the English word, but like facsimile, like there is a lot Colin had in his hands, and I scanned it. So it is for him, but it's also, I think it talks to a big issue, and he's like in proxy for millions of people, so that's why we both decided to if we can, we bring it out there and let people know about that prison system. And but maybe we talk about collections a little bit more, like if you guys want to, because like I saw that big book, maybe we can show it, and that's based on something found, right?
Yes. There's going to be a chance, by the way, we brought our almost full catalog, also some rare stuff. There's going to be a chance to browse everything, and Chantal's book as well is on the table. So after the talk, you're welcome to put your hands on everything. So coming back to, like, I think...
This is kind of our zine format. I mean, it's a big zine, but it's the... I mean, okay, maybe we should just... First, before we look at this, the book that we were looking at, sorry, I'm so bad with the microphone, in the video, is this. So our books that we usually do are very labor-intense. We do like the hardcovers, we tip in images, we do foil stamping. They're very like labor-intense, and we do every copy by hand in our studio. So there's no like outsourced machine work, like every copy is done by hand. And
well, it takes us a while. Like,
Yeah, no, that takes ages to make a book like this.
That's just the physical labor, but there's also like the collecting labor and then decisions and everything. So I think, how long does it take us?
It takes a year to make a book like this. And we're God, if you commit to a project, then we commit to a year until it's out. And then after a year, we're still finishing copies because it's still laying around in the studio and stuff. So we, back to the zine thinking, what I really like in zines is this low pressure thing that you can just pull out a quick one because it's fun and it's not expensive. And I think that's the great thing about doing zines. You should all do zines because you can just do it and there's not much money involved and you can just do something really quick. I mean, it's such a cool format. I still love it. I don't do zines anymore, but then we came up with this format that we call the Dead Pages, which is based on, found, each issue is a collection of things.
Yeah.
Which we own physically. It's either a folder of weird mail order slips of some weirdos that we found on a flea market, or it's a little book that we chop up because we like the pages or the bad printing. And what we do is we blow it up to this big size. And yeah, so this one was a portrait book, a Polish portrait book about dogs, which we really love the way it was printed and the way the dog portraits were taken and stuff. And then the other element we found were yeah, that's good. We bought on eBay. There was a photo studio in America selling their archives of negatives from the 80s. It's a kind of a mall photographer. And we matched these American 80s photos with the Polish photos from the, 60s?
Yeah, late 60s, 70s.
Yeah, so the original is a book that is modified with these images. So there is an original existing, and in the format of the Dead Pages, we always, it's kind of a pain in the ass to browse. In the format of the Dead Pages, it's just a simple reproduction of the actual.
And your photo.
Yes.
Well,
in this case, we had some fun and we also put ourselves in because we didn't just want to make fun out of people. But it's very much in the spirit of a zine, even if it's way bigger and stuff. But I think it's in the core, it's a zine because we do these. It's the issue number 4 now. We're working on issue number 5 right now. This is whenever we don't want to commit to a year of work or I mean, we're always cooking the next bigger book as well. But we also have these fun little things in our collection, and we just love to have fun in our work because we just do this. We do nothing else. We do these books. So we actually just want to have some fun. And so there's this little project that we do in this format.
I mean, the idea basically came from us kind of thinking what would the opposite of what we usually do would look like. So it's a large format, it's unbound. I mean, it comes with a sleeve, obviously, but there's no stapling. It's just simply folded sheets. And then we print it as an open edition, so it's sort of printed on demand in small batches, but still numbered. Because we kind of want to know where we are. The aspect of control, we can't let it go, I guess. But it's, talking about collecting stuff, it's really, really great. And like Claudio said, we have 4 issues out, and they're not really scheduled in any way. It's just really if we stumble across something that just brings us some joy, good old joy, then we just go on and do it. I mean, part of our studio motto is take nothing seriously, but everything seriously. So still, if you look into the details of these books, the reproduction of it and the labor that comes into making these singular objects it takes some time, and it's a trap because usually we're like, oh, that's going to be fun and that's going to be done in 3 days, and then, you know, a month later we're still like, okay, it takes longer than expected, but still comparing
to others.
Do you
still have fun doing it, though?
We do, yeah, we do.
Are there ever the moments you're like, fuck, like now I'm in it and I'm stuck and I, like, how do I go from there? Because I can, like, when I think back to doing that book, it was so helpful to have some people who were kind of on the outside being along with me with the whole project, but the bookmaking itself, like, it was frustrating and it hurt, and I think the decision making about it was so difficult, and having a deadline with having to graduate at one point, and that helped me to have to make decisions. And I would think, like, when you start doing a book, do you have a deadline? Like, do you, like?
No, I mean, the good thing is that we're like always cooking 3-4 projects at the same time, and they are in different stages. So when something is annoying in editing, we can just go to the bindery and glue some blocks.
Yeah.
And if we're like super bored of making blocks or covers, whatever, then we look into the research of a new thing, or we have tons of scans to do. So there's always multiple tasks.
And you can switch.
Yes, yeah. You can switch. And also the bookbinding part also reminds you of the labor that's about to come if you commit to something. So when you're like excited on your computer screen about, ooh, cool, let's do this one, it's always a good reminder that you're going to fiddle with it.
Got to do that too.
For a long time, yeah. So we always have a few things in the making. And also when we feel like one is kind of not going anywhere, then we just drop it and focus on the other ones. It's kind of our privilege. We have this studio with all this equipment. We can do everything in our studio. So we design everything. We mostly print everything. And if we outsource the printing, like offset or digital printing, we get just the sheets done. And then from there, we also take over. So there's very little outsourcing and very much being in control in our studio, which means also at every step in the process, we can stop. And there's also not a publisher who's like, let's do it, right? So we can always just, it's kind of a Disneyland.
And what do you do when they're, like, when you're doing your thing and you know how to do it, and then, like, suddenly you're stuck? Like, you're not, like...
Well, good things is that we have 2 brains, 4 hands, 2 brains, and we can have a conversation. If I would be alone, I would probably also lose my mind, but we are, like, 2, and that's very healthy. Also, like, in terms of... I mean, there's a lot of things that we're, like, attracted to, like, a lot of archival images that we are attracted to, and we're also doing what's on the invitation cards. We're also doing canvas pieces, like... Because there's also images that we are just very attracted to, but not everything is a book, not everything is a sequence. Like, when we do something, it's either or. Like, the stuff we do in book form only exists in book form. And the stuff we do on a canvas piece or as a print, it only exists as a print. So we are not really believing in this duality, which is, like, a lot floating around in photography. There's, like... You have to have both. Like, you have to have a version how it's on the wall, and you have to have a version how it's in the book. We both kind of, like, it's either or, which makes it actually easier.
Is your project also, is it going to have a different form, or is the book it for it?
It had a different form because it was published in a magazine. But actually, I was pretty lucky, and they took over the layout of the book in the way they could do it, because the book has, like, this inlay catalog, which feels different, which, like, of course, they cannot do that in the magazine, but they still try to just basically decide which pages from the book will be in the magazine. So it wasn't like a big, I opened the magazine and suddenly there were like different crops or like, you know, it was, I was actually still in control of it, which I think I couldn't have done it differently because, yeah, I'm not alone in it. And it's like, I can't give up taking care of Colin's story in that moment. Like, I couldn't just send them the pictures and be like, let's see how that will turn out. So I was really lucky to be able to do that. So it's not really a different form, but it's obviously a way bigger audience, mm-hmm. which makes mm-hmm. it a different thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Should we talk about text in photo books?
Yes.
Because I think I hate texts in photo books.
So you can't look at mine?
No. But in your case, it makes absolute sense because it's part of the work that you have a conversation in text form and then you have a conversation in, like, what, fax form? Is it fax what you send?
I have, after that catalog, which is basically I needed to put it in because it's a catalog where imprisoned people can order products from 4 times a year. And it's, I got the actual catalog sent from Colin, which is an insane thing to look through because there are like those objects you know from your daily life, but suddenly they are see-through, like CD players and TVs. And like there's this weird tension between daily objects, but they are different, you know, like, and I also, the prices are the same as in the outside world, but the people earn like 80 cents an hour, so obviously family needs to come up for it. And like there is so much in those pages of this catalog that I just wanted to put it in there. I don't have to say anything. Like if someone engages and looks through them, they will see how fucked up that system is. So then we are at found footage again. Like they have something to say on their own, which is awesome, which are you guys do also like all the time in your books. Like just use documents because they speak for themselves, so I actually don't have to say something, which is awesome, because I'm also not very objective in that whole thing. I'm like his brother's girlfriend. Like, obviously, I think that's a shitty situation he's in. And like, so I think I wanted to use documents to distance myself a little bit and just let them speak for themselves. I don't know why I'm talking about that topic now.
Yeah, I also don't know, but there is this other text layer. But there is this other text layer of text. All the letters back and forth,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, in this catalog, this is also full of text, which is interesting to read through because it's actually interesting to get an insight. Oh, wow, what can I order when I'm in prison? Mm-hmm. And these objects are actually super weird, and I think the inlay booklet is very smart. I really like this element. And the other element that I really like is that your photos appear twice in the book. Actually kind of more like 3 times. Mm. There's a text layer which describes the photo. Then you have a weird black and white rough printout of a fax or like of something that gets printed out and delivered to him. Mm. And then later on, he gets the full color image. So he receives this kind of in 3 steps, or like actually the first step is your conversation. So back to the text, it's kind of necessary in your book because it's one of the 3 images, image processing ways,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you said something really interesting when we were browsing the book at the studio. You said to me, there's so much text in it, I don't even know if it's a photo book.
Mm.
Like, is it a photo book? And of course it is. And there's so many different elements to it. And I found it very interesting what you said there, that you had this doubt in your head. But
I think it's maybe it's a book about photography as well.
Yeah.
Oh, are we done? Okay, so I can't open that. Yeah, so let's say in the book there's an equal amount of text and photography, and it needs each other. Like, I think it wouldn't make sense to just show the photos. No one would understand and have... You need the context the text is giving you and the other thing around. So
That's what I really liked about it, because usually I'm very, like,
because
not
we're
into
kind
text.
Of on the opposite spectrum of this. For exactly. your work, it's really important to be understood, because it carries this message that's a very important one. And for us, this moment of, like, not understanding is very interesting. So that was kind of a...
We always get rid of every single word to just leave you with the pure images behind. And then you have to kind of invent the book or come up for yourself what it is. So we kind of just offer you this, like, playground. And then it's, like, for everyone, it's, like, something different. So it's a very different approach. Mm-hmm. And I don't see many photo books where I say that the text is very important, or, like, it actually, it can't be without it. Because usually what you see is, like, then you have an essay that explains you what the book is about, and this is, like, always what I really don't like in, you know, in this world of photo books, that, you know, I feel like the images should speak for themselves. But in your case...
They can't.
It makes, no, they can't. Yeah. And, okay, I got a five-minute warning here, so... so, questions, right?
Questions.
You can ask... questions. If you have questions.
I think, yeah, maybe.
Maybe it's better. I would like to know, how long did you work with Colin on that project? Because I saw the number 2022.
Yeah.
And I was asking that myself.
I think the first letter I sent in October 2021, and then we, like, it always took a while until he replied, until he received it. Like, it was really a long process just to communicate, and there was always time difference between sending those letters. And the overall conversation was a year, like, until October 2022. And then I was able to visit him, and that was basically me wrapping up, like, me being as close as I can get and take photos in California for him, where he grew up. I photographed those places that play a big role in his case. So I did, like, an investigation, kind of. So a little bit going back to, is it a photo book? Maybe it's, like, a research in the end. Like a collection of pieces I researched, and while just getting to know him. Like, so that was a year, and then the whole photo book thing started, which...
How long did that take?
It needed to be fast, because I graduated in January, so I went back in October, and then I decided to make a book after being overwhelmed with what I had, and thinking that would be the right thing. So I made the book in, like, 2 months. Yeah, and I wrote a thesis next to it, that was also... Thank you, Everett.
I also wanted to ask you, how important is what actually happened to him, and why he is in this position that he is to you? And do you reveal it in the book? What's your kind of take on it? Because I feel like this is one of probably the question marks that people have that hear about this story. They're like, okay, but what happened? You know?
Totally. Yeah, so that's always the first question
I
get. And sometimes I'm very, very happy when that question comes late. So nice. So basically, it's not important for me at all. I think like, I don't want to start the whole why he's in prison thing, because it's in the book.
You don't
it can
have to
be,
say it. It's just... It's,
I can say it, but I think it's just, like, time-wise, and, like, you can read it. I put it in the book, but I put it in the very, very end, because Everett, his brother, wrote a little piece about being alongside our project, being alongside his whole incarceration, being on there on the day he was... arrested. So that gives the context, but I intentionally decided to put that text at the very end because I wanted people to just get to know him and to engage and to identify and not stigmatize a person who's in prison, because he's in there for something he didn't do, I can say that. And but I think the book would be here as well, would be here also if he would have done that. Mm-hmm. So it's a book about making people visible who are invisible behind this wall, and there are a lot of people behind that wall and need to have some agency, some people who care, because you can't just lock it up and throw away the key and hope they will come out and be a nice neighbor to you. So, yeah.
Great. Are there more questions? Yeah.
I have the question, how do you, so for you two, so I see that two parts, the analog bookmaking and the digital production and concept side of things. And what are the percentages? And are you always doing the same thing? Or are you? Is there a time where one person is more in the concept and one person is more in the production? Yes, I'd like to have some.
Thank you. So how we work usually is that we have publications that are our collaborative work, and then there are also books that are done just by me or just by Claudio. So it's sort of it's a little wave, I would say, that we like to research our own things and collect our own things, and then after these projects are done, we come back to working on something together. Just because this moment of like this connection and the moment of being just by yourself with the project is like quite, it gets quite intimidating. And at some point you really sit with something that you don't even know what it is and if it makes any sense to anyone. And that's the moments where we usually just ask each other, what do you think, you know, or like, what do you see in this? And then in the... If we work together on a book, I would say, because we have like two a bit of different set of skills, we have the tasks that we split. Then I mean, we work on layouts and editing together, but then like for example the technical part of photography, that's more on Claudio's desk, and I'm more responsible for design and typography, for example. And then we kind of, yeah, it goes like we meet somewhere and then we split and we work separately and then again. So it's really nice to have actually to work as a duo. It's a great thing because there is always this second pair of eyes and second brain, and you know, you can get a little bit of a distance. So I admire people like Chantal who sit with the project, you know, on your own, and like you say, you can get really overwhelmed. And even though, I mean, it's a collaboration, of course, but yeah, it's. I'm also really grateful that we do this together because, yeah, it just
two brains for hands.
Yeah, it's really good.
I have a question, not for Claudia and Magda, because I know them very well. I was wondering if was there ever any point of fear, or did it ever happen where like this outside world view became too painful to see for Carl? Sorry, I can't retain it. Colin, sorry.
So sorry, fear about what? I didn't
like,
get.
that at some point, like, it would be too painful for him to see all this outside world, as in like a kind of a realization of where it was. Obviously, he was aware, yeah. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just like if it was too much at some point.
I think that's a question we, as a family around him, share not only with photography, but also with the things we tell him, with like we share daily life things or holiday or like, you know, like it is always that fear of like sharing too much of the outside world. I guess that's what you mean. So also sharing it through photography. But actually, I was scared about that. But then Everett, who is his brother and who is there since 19 years, since the time he's imprisoned, he told me just do it, because if you're not doing it, what does that help him? Like, you know, like just send it to him, make him become more part of our daily life. And it's not only the photo we shared, it's what we talked about, you know. It's not like, oh, now I show him that photo of this food. It's like we share an experience, we talk about it, and in the end we come together through photography, which is, I think, always, it was a little bit bigger than the fear. But I know that it was hard for him to...
Did he ever express it?
Yeah. So we, for the magazine where we published our project, there was an interview, and also Colin was asked a few questions, like also like written, because that was easier. So he wrote back and he answered exactly that question, and he said it was hard to see. It was hard to see those pizza sticks he hasn't been eaten for 19 years. It is hard, but it was also very motivating for him. So I think it's always both. It's like there's this weird thing. Also, me sitting here, it's weird that I answer that now. You know, like, but if I'm not, then you never would hear from him. So what's better, you know? Yeah.
I have a question. I think, Claudio, you said that your books are not made for everyone. So I'm wondering, who are they made for? So who are you addressing?
You.
Good one, yeah. I mean, I think our books are not really... Well, our books are like...
The suspense.
It's a good one, yeah.
You started.
Right. Yeah, there's sometimes, they can be naughty, they can be like offending, but what's more important, I think, is that they don't really explain you what you see. So, and I think for a lot of people, it's like complicated or like difficult to get a book which is very not clear what it is. And we just give you this like play field of what it could be. But if you're not up to like put your own thoughts in it, then it won't work for you. So that's why I think it's not for everyone, because I think you're quite used to getting it kind of like presented that you understand. And our books are very cryptic and very hard to understand. So that's why I think it's a little specific.
So you kind of, you ask a lot from, like you ask for engagement.
No, we just strip so much information off that what's left is kind of a puzzle.
Yeah.
And you gotta be either up to have fun with that puzzle.
It's an invitation, basically.
Yeah, but if you don't have the vibes for this, then it wouldn't work for you. You can be frustrated. We get a lot this question like, oh, there's no text in your book. I don't understand what it is about. And then it's like, yeah, that's why we do it. Like, because then you can, it can be for you something, and for the next person it's something completely different. And isn't that great that it's like for everyone very specific what it could be? And to answer your question, that's why I'm saying it's not for everyone, because not everyone is ready to put that in, and a lot of people just don't understand what the hell am I looking at. And
can I ask a question? Mm-hmm. So when you are at those book fairs or whatever, and someone tells you what that book does for him or her, how much is that feedback worth to you? Like, you know,
I mean, I think we love the conversations, what people think, what it is. But there's also then at the book fair specifically a lot of questions. There's a moment where we can really like you can talk to us about it, and it's more like people like are hungry for like what is it? Like, can you explain?
Tell me quick.
Can you help me a little bit, and we are happy to help in these like public moments. But otherwise you're just by yourself, and we love what people think what it is. And I think for me, this is also like in my private collection of photo books, the most important ones for me are the ones that I don't understand. The ones that I understand, like, yeah, right, yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, I just wanted to add that even though that maybe on the surface they're like quite cryptic, or really like if you only get the visual information, then like really what can you puzzle from it? But it's really important for us when we come up with a concept for a book that we actually can tell you what this book is about in basically one sentence. So it's not like it's about anything, it's really specific. And so when we love to talk about it, and we love being at these meetings, we love being at the book fairs, and of course everyone is invited to look at it and ask and have an opinion. So the books are for everyone. But I think it's really important for us that this concept and then the execution of the book come very closely together, and then it's you kind of get both. And I think also an important one is actually from our experience, to sell a book, you need to do that. Like, unfortunately, you really have to.
Yeah, especially if you have a cryptic book, you gotta have to
really
break it down in one sentence.
Yeah,
and then if you're like able to break it down in one sentence, it's like, yeah, then it works. Yes.
That's the experience that we get, that then also when you say it and a person is like, okay, great, and then they come up with something, and this is very valuable. Like, this comeback of being like, oh, you know, I see something else in it is great. I love that.
Actually, time-wise, we need to stop. If there's any question, one question more maybe. Otherwise, I think a good example for a project is like Bild-Zeitung, the book you did, or William Eggleston. So maybe you can talk about it later. It's also here. You brought both books, right?
Yes.
Great. So, and you took the text away, actually. There was text in the book,
text
and you
left.
Deleted it. So no text at all. Thank you very much for
thank you.
Your conversation, and thanks
thank you.
You
for having me.